Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Tuesday, April 12th, 2022. We are a Youngstown studio production. Joe and I are down here live in studio. The first thing I want to tell you guys about is, I'm going to tell you about what's going to happen on the show today. First of all, we're going to talk about Dwayne Haskins. I put together a little tribute for him. A couple days since his tragic passing, just terrible. 24 years old, soon to be 25. And if you're an Ohio State Buckeye fan, if you are a Washington fan, if you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, or just a fan in general, this young man's life was just taken too soon. And we're not going to get into the details of his death, but we will talk a little bit about his legacy and especially some of his time at Ohio State. So I'm going to start off the show with that in just a minute. We will also talk to you about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They play a playoff game tonight. It's actually in the playoff tournament, play-in tournament against the Brooklyn Nets in the 7-8 game. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The Guardians, I might make a new rule of anytime I say Indians, we're going to put like some money into it, like a swear jar. I know you were doing that with a swear jar at the beginning of the year.
I ran out of money though.
Yeah, it goes fast. I notice I probably still say Indians probably if I'm watching a game or talking to someone, I probably still say it at least once or twice a day. It's going to be hard to get that out of your vocabulary for a while, you know? We'll also talk about the Masters that wrapped up this past weekend. So we'll have a couple little Youngstown news and notes that were on the calendar either today or this past week. So first thing I want to do is I'm going to have Joe put this up on screen. We have a little giveaway going. First of all, EJ, I'm going to probably butcher your last name, Scalata, won the YSU Jim Tressel, Bo Pelini autographed football that is down here in studio. So EJ, we'll figure something out. Maybe you can pick that up on Thursday or sometime this week. But we do have a Ken Griffey Jr. autographed baseball. This was actually signed. I think I got this in like 1994 or 1995. So I've kind of had it in my trophy case, if you will, for a long time. And I've just kind of like ran out of room. I have a lot of stuff and it's a great piece if you have a baseball fan in your life. So what I want you to do, if you would like to win that ball, I think there's like 20 people entered right now, but all you have to basically do, go to the 330 Sports Show page on Facebook, make sure you're following it and leave a comment underneath. Simple as that. You can tell me, hey, the show sucks and here's what you need to do better. That's a comment. That counts. That's in. You could say something about Griffey. You can say something about sports. Anything counts to get in the drawing. And we will pull the winner on Thursday's show. Lindsay Watson from WKBN will be in. I'm going to have her pull the winner on Thursday. So with that said, let's go into, first of all, a little tribute I wanted to put together in honor of Dwayne Haskins. So most people will remember Dwayne as the Ohio State quarterback, especially the 2018 season. He put together what is now a transcendent season for Ohio State football. If you're an Ohio State football fan, for me, I kind of grew up rooting for Ohio State in the mid to late 90s. So I remember guys like Joe Germain, Stanley Jackson, Craig Krenzel, and then into the Troy Smith era, into the Braxton Miller era. There was Kenny Guyton in there and that Terrell Pryor, a bunch of guys in there. But the main theme from, I would say, Troy Smith on, even Craig Krenzel too a little bit, a lot of those guys were running or dual threat quarterbacks. Dwayne Haskins came in to Ohio State as basically a passer. You know, he made an impact on the field a little bit his first year. as a runner. He had a huge play in the Michigan game where he scrambled down to the 1 or 2 yard line and was able to, come in for an injured JT Barrett and punch in a score for the Buckeyes as they were down to Michigan in the 2017 game. I didn't know Dwayne Haskins, obviously, as a person, but people that I know have met him or talked to him in person said he had this like confident, cocky swagger that was, when you hear cocky, you kind of think like arrogance and stuff. No, this kid had all the confidence in himself and was a great, great person on and off the field. And I think that's how a lot of people will remember him. He had this, this smile that would light up a room and just affected and touched so many people. And, when I heard this news this weekend, it really hit me. It really hit me. Being in the Ohio State family, that's something that, we root for these guys as football players, but oftentimes we don't think of them, as just normal people. And Dwayne Haskins, I think that just shows you the humanity of what happened and how fragile life can truly be. One instant he's on top of the world, top three in the Heisman Trophy, voting in 2018, wins the Rose Bowl, beats Michigan, beats Northwestern in the Big Ten title game, gets drafted 15th overall by the Washington Redskins at the time, and doesn't necessarily do so well, but catches on seemingly with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, who, if there's Steeler fans out there, you know what a great coach he is. And he had nothing but great things to say about Dwayne Haskins. Urban Meyer, whatever you think about him as a person too, loved Dwayne Haskins. Ryan Day loved Dwayne Haskins. And I honestly think Ryan Day might not have the Ohio State football job right now if it's not for Dwayne Haskins, because again, he transcended and broke literally almost every school record and Big Ten passing record there was in that 2018 season. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through my top five moments. You might agree, you might disagree with me, and I would love for you to share maybe your favorite moment or a couple moments if you have them to share. But I'm going to go through and take you through my top five list of Dwayne Haskins moments during his Ohio State career. So I'm going to start with number five. Number five for me, November 25th, 2017. He is a redshirt freshman off the bench. JT Barrett, and this was a story I just heard this week. I didn't know this story. So JT Barrett, everybody knows JT Barrett if you're an Ohio State fan. Beat Michigan 4 times, basically, all this guy did was win. And apparently, before the Michigan game, he had a banged up knee, and a cameraman bumped into JT Barrett before the game. And so that kind of like tweaked his knee a little bit. And then during the game in the third quarter, halfway through the third quarter, goes down kind of funny, hurts his knee. And Ohio State has to go to its backup quarterback. And the two backup quarterbacks on the bench, Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow. So Dwayne Haskins, though, beat out Joe Burrow. And you can think whatever you want to think, like however their NFL careers turned out. But Joe Burrow wasn't ready yet. Dwayne Haskins was. He was thrown into the fire. And Dwayne Haskins on this very crucial, I think it was 3rd and 13, completed this pass in between two Michigan defenders to Austin Mack, who basically got lit up on the play, but converted it. First down, moved the chains. Ohio State was down 20-14 to then the number one ranked defense in the country. Ohio State was number 10 in the country, 10-1. Michigan was number 4 in the country at 10-1 in Ann Arbor, goes in, pulls out that game and saves the Buckeyes season, gets them to the Big Ten title game. They win that. They don't make the playoff, but they get to the Rose Bowl and beat the Washington Huskies in the Rose Bowl that season. So that is my number five moment, the comeback as a backup in Ann Arbor for Dwayne Haskins. Number four is the next game. Well, excuse me, the next game in the next season, the record-setting game in the Big Ten title game. So Big Ten championship versus Northwestern. He threw for, at the time, a school record, 499 yards, five touchdowns. He was 34 of 41 passing, and he earned a trip to New York City as a Heisman Trophy finalist. He finished behind two guys you might recognize their name. Kyler Murray won the Heisman that year, and then Tua Tagovailoa came in second that year from Alabama. Dwayne Haskins finished third, but really came on late in the season. So his 499-yard performance against Northwestern is number four on my list. Number three on my list is now the next game in that sense. And I talked about it a little bit. The Rose Bowl, January 1st, 2019, a 28-23 win over Washington. This was actually Urban Meyer's last game as Buckeyes head coach. Haskins finished 23 of 37 for 251 yards, three touchdowns, and you know, kind of supplanted himself as a number one draft pick. A lot of people said, hey, Dwayne, maybe come back to school. You're not quite ready. But you know what? That's good advice a lot of times. But when you are going to be a first round draft pick with guaranteed money, it's really, really, really hard to tell someone not to go to the NFL. And by the way, Ohio State had this new guy coming in named Justin Fields. Maybe you've heard of him too, that was going to replace Haskins. The Buckeyes probably do not get Justin Fields if Dwayne Haskins doesn't put up the season he does. So that's my number three moment. My number two moment, I will never forget this game. I was, you know, at least the parts I remember from this game. I was actually in Las Vegas at a sports book, and the Buckeyes are taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. If you've ever seen, you know, a game at Penn State at night, it is probably the most intense atmosphere in all of college football. Dwayne Haskins and the Buckeyes down 12 points late in the fourth quarter. Come back. He throws for 270 yards and three touchdowns to come back in the game from a 12-point deficit. It was capped off by a 24-yard screen pass to KJ Hill for a 27-26 victory. And again, in college football's toughest environment. There was another play by Ben Victor, number nine, if you remember him. He's kind of, you know, just this long, lanky receiver who, you know, hit him over the middle, and he ran and did the rest. But a couple great, great plays in that game to get the Buckeyes the win over the Nittany Lions in a extremely, extremely tough environment. And before I show you the number one video, you know, we're not able to play this video today, but if you can go out there and find it, you know, this is the part that really gives me chills. I think it's Dwayne Haskins as a fifth grader. So he's probably, if you're in fifth grade, you're 10, 11 years old. And, you know, he is walking in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, which is where Ohio State trains. Jim Tressel is still the coach. And, you know, there's pictures out there with Tressel and Dwayne Haskins. And, you know, he's a little kid and his dad's recording him. And he said, what do you think? And he's like, I'm going to be quarterback at Ohio State. And it, to this day, still gives me chills. Like right now, as I'm saying it, I have goosebumps. And, you know, just as a 10-year-old kid was able to, you know, go out and live his dream and in his short time, you know, accomplish so much, you know, whether he ultimately got, you know, a national title or a Super Bowl is irrelevant, but he accomplished his goals as a very young man from, you know, being a little kid and seeing that goal and having it, out there. And put just the fact that it's on tape and you can go out there and watch it, it's just really, really great. And he's got that infectious smile as a little kid that carried on to him through his college years and into the NFL. All right. And that's going to bring me to my number one memory of Ohio State, which was obviously the game against Michigan at home. Michigan was the number one defense in the country at this time. Ohio State was actually a 4-point underdog at home in this game. Dwayne Haskins was 20 for 31 for 396 yards, a school record tying 6 touchdowns. And Ohio State, remember, again, this was the number one defense in the country, put up 62 points on the Michigan Wolverines. And again, as a 4-point underdog in that game, many, many people predicted Michigan was going to win that game, and Haskins just put them over the top. So he has set the standard for all new quarterbacks at Ohio State. So the Dwayne Haskins standard now is going to be the new thing. You know, Ohio State is going to keep producing. Now, I know a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks have struggled in the NFL in the past. However, since Ryan Day has taken over, you know, you're not going to get those Tim Tebow type quarterbacks. You're not going to get the JT Barretts anymore. You're going to get guys like Dwayne Haskins, like Justin Fields, like CJ Stroud. You have Kyle McCord behind him, who will be a top, you know, pick probably in the future. You have a kid named Brown, Devin Brown, that's a true freshman right now that's going to, you know, do great things. But that is all because Dwayne Haskins, when he came to Ohio State, changed the way that position is played. So just going over a few of the records that this guy has set: 4,831 passing yards in a season, 50 passing touchdowns in a season, 373 completions in a season, on 533 passing attempts, which was 70%. All of those were school records. 345.1 passing yards a game, 5 400 yard games, 9 300 yard games, 14 200 yard games, 4,989 total yards, and then 20 completions in 10 consecutive games, and then a Big Ten and Ohio State record, 54 total touchdowns accounted for. Some of his Big Ten records were those passing yards, total yards, the 50 touchdown passes, and 6-time Big Ten Player of the Week. So Dwayne Haskins, you know, a lot of people have said a lot of things about Dwayne Haskins, but I, as an Ohio State graduate, as an Ohio State fan, as someone that, you know, for me, Ohio State football represents a lot more than just football. It's a tradition. It's just something that always will be a big part of me. I felt necessary to do a little tribute to Dwayne Haskins and a life that was taken too soon. So Dwayne Haskins, please rest in peace, and you will be missed. And you know, for anybody out there watching too, you know, it just shows you, again, life is so fragile. Go out there, give your family a hug, give your loved ones a hug, because, you know, you just never know when life will get you. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes it comes at you too fast. And you know, we had a guest on the show, you know, just a few months ago, Gary, that passed away, and he was a huge Buckeye fan. And, you know, it's just, you know, maybe I'm a little bit older now, a little bit wiser, but, you know, don't take things for granted. Just get out there and live your life and take care of your people. So, all right, with that said, I'd like to turn the page. We're going to go ahead and talk now about the Masters tournament this past weekend. And before I talk about the winner, I want to talk about Tiger Woods. Actually, this was kind of cool. My mom and my stepdad were there this past weekend in Augusta, and they were there on Wednesday and Thursday. And she was, you know, you're not able to take your cell phone on the course on Thursday, but on Wednesday during the practice round, she was able to, she was kind of telling me, like, you know, Tiger has a noticeable limp. He's really struggling. And for the fact that he did you know, first of all, made the cut. I think his first day he was one under par. This man was in a car accident 14 months ago, and they thought they were going to have to amputate his leg. And for him to go out and golf on one of the toughest courses in the world, walk, you know, all 18 holes or 72 holes, I should say, and just be in contention or compete at that high a level says the kind of competitor he is. Now, I know some people don't think the highest of Tiger Woods off the course, but on the course, there's no doubting that he is one of the greatest of all times in any sport. So just thought that was great to see him back on the course. And my favorite thing about the Masters is, hey, spring is finally here. And, you know, the weather we've been having in Northeast Ohio doesn't necessarily say that. Today it is beautiful, though. It's almost 70 degrees. It's sunny. So hopefully we can continue this trend, and the Masters kind of kicks that off. The winner of the Masters was Scottie Scheffler, and he finished 10 under par. He was actually, I believe, 13 under going in, or 12 under going into the final hole, and he actually four putted on 18. And if you can four putt and still win by three, you know you're doing something right. But I think, you know, to me, the coolest part was when he was four putting. I'm like, I can totally relate to this. That's how I golf. You know, yes. I unfortunately do not have a green jacket, but something that was kind of relatable to the common golfer. And I told Joe before we go, I put up the one picture. You know, I'm just gonna say a really funny but inappropriate comment. But you could see a lot of the times the kids or the spouses are, you know, the caddies on the par three. And you can see here, there's a picture of Scottie Scheffler's wife cleaning his shaft. So I'm sorry, I had to do it. Like, but I mean, that was just a layup right there. So, but congratulations. He is actually the third youngest player to ever win a Masters. I believe, obviously, Tiger was the youngest, and I think Jordan Spieth did it as well. And two of those three guys, Tiger went to Stanford, Jordan Spieth and Scheffler, I believe, are both Texas graduates. So very cool for them. And, you know, just a cool honor to win that green jacket. Next year, he gets that champions dinner where he gets to pick the whole menu and all the champions come. I believe that's Tuesday night before the Masters. So that's really cool.
Do they ever do any kind of homages to like Happy Gilmore or anything? They're too serious on that.
Well, this weekend, I thought to myself, I was like, just like one of the first time, because, you know, just like thinking about the green jacket, I was like, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
But you eat shit.
Well, every time, by the way, no. Vern Lundquist does one of the holes at the Masters. I can't remember which number, 16 maybe. But he is in the movie Happy Gilmore. And anytime I hear his voice, I always think of like SEC Saturday Football or Happy Gilmore. So he is like transcendent of the sport for me. But I don't think at the Masters their patrons or the announcers are talking up the lowbrow Happy Gilmore as much.
Well, if I'm four putting, I'm yelling at the ball to get it to his home, right? Totally.
Exactly. Get in your home, ball. Before we move on, real quick reminder to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, for Youngstown Studio. You can listen on any podcast platform, and make sure to follow the 330 Sports Show pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did not have a great... Oh, by the way, you know what, Joe? Let me ask you this too. I meant to ask you this first. So the champions dinner at the Masters, going back to that for a second, what would your pick be if you got to pick? So let's just say you get a four course meal. So you get an appetizer, a meal, or let's say three. So you get an appetizer, meal, and dessert.
Okay.
What are you picking?
Shrimp, steak. What dessert would I pick? Because it's my
shrimp
choice.
As the appetizer.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? Steak as the main meal. Course.
And you get some sort of dessert, and you're kind of a keto.
Truffles.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you might as well go expensive too.
That's it.
You fly them in from Italy and make it expensive.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
How about
you? I think I would go with, you know, if I'm going to go fancy here. So I like the steak idea.
Okay.
So I'm probably going with the highest end steak I can find. Probably get some green beans or some mashed potatoes or something. I would do a little bit more research if I won the Masters and I can, you know, actually pick it. For an appetizer, I'm probably going like some sort of calamari or some sort of, you know, probably some sort of like caprice type salad. We're in Youngstown. I got to talk correctly. And then for dessert, I'm probably going something simple, probably like a cheesecake or, you know, something that will appeal to the wide range of people in the audience. So that's what going with. So,
like,
you know, so we'll revisit that next year around this time. All right. So now let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the play-in tournament for the Cavs. So the good. This past Sunday, the Cavs beat the Bucks 133-115. They were actually up 14-0. They were up by as many as like 37 points in this game. The Bucks sat a lot of their starters, but the Cavs finish 44-38. They end up in the eighth seed. This is their best season since 2018. The bad though for the Cavs, they lost 8 of their last 11 games. They were at one point in the second seed, fall all the way to the eighth seed, which puts them in that play-in tournament. They will take on the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the Brooklyn Nets are not your ordinary 7 or 8 seed. They are a very star-studded, loaded team. So that's going to be a very, very tough game tonight with the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll talk about that. And the unfortunate part of this end of the season run has been injuries. Injuries have really hampered the Cavs. Mobley was out for a while. He is actually back. He's played in the last 2 games. He will be in the starting lineup tonight. Jared Allen, however, who is probably a top 25 player in the NBA this year, an all-star, will not be ready to play tonight. Now, hopefully, if the Cavs win, they get a few days off. They will be the 7th seed. They will take on Boston. Now, I'm going to explain this play-in tournament, how it works, because for a lot of people, it is confusing. This is only the second year of the play-in tournament, and the 7 and the 8 seed have kind of an advantage, because if you are in the 7 and 8 seed, so you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's... I'll come back to my one slide here, but let's go to what the play-in tournament looks like. So if you are the 7 or the 8 seed, so Brooklyn and the Cavs both have a 44-38 record. However, Brooklyn won 3 out of 4 games, so they get the home court advantage. So Brooklyn will host the Cavs tonight. The winner of that game, the winner of Brooklyn and Cleveland, automatically becomes the 7 seed. So the winner of tonight's Brooklyn Cavs game will go on and they will take on the Boston Celtics in the 2-7 game. The loser of the Brooklyn Cleveland game tonight is not done. They get one more opportunity. They will go to kind of the loser's bracket. They will take on the winner of the Atlanta Charlotte, who is the 9 and 10 seed. So Charlotte and Atlanta, whoever wins that game will move on to the winner's bracket and take on the loser of Cleveland and Brooklyn. Does that kind of make sense a little bit? And the loser of Atlanta Charlotte is completely out. So the Cavs and the Nets play tonight. Now there was, you know, I don't want to get into the details, but there was an unfortunate situation that happened in New York City today, fairly close to the arena. So I don't know how that'll affect it. It was a subway tragedy that happened. So I don't know if the game will be affected, game time or whatever, by that. So I would say just check your local listings, as they would say, for that. But that should be a TNT game. So The Atlanta Charlotte game will be tomorrow. If the Cavs do win, they will be off for a few days and most likely play Saturday. If they lose, they will play on Thursday night, or excuse me, Friday night, against the winner of the Atlanta Charlotte game. So hopefully that long explanation made sense, but you see the other seeds. Miami is the one seed, Boston two. You will have Milwaukee and Chicago playing each other. I think Milwaukee sweeps that series. And then Toronto's kind of like the fancy, trendy pick to upset the Philadelphia 76ers. I think Joel Embiid is one of the best players in the league this year, but Toronto has really come on late. They were actually tied with the Cavs for a long, long time, and they just really pulled away at the end. Philadelphia is struggling down the stretch, so we will see how that all turns out. But just, you know, let's just hope for a Cavs win tonight, and then you don't have to worry about a winner go home game on Friday. So that's what that looks like.
Did you make that flowchart? That's like one of the best flowcharts I've ever seen.
I cannot take credit for that. I stole that graphic from NBA.com. So I can make that, you know, but it was already out there. So as they say in the teacher world, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, it's out there for the public, so it wasn't copywritten or anything like that.
I think Steve Jobs said, real artists steal.
Yes. Well, yeah. And I like to steal, but I'll give credit where credit is due. So I do want to go back real quick to another awesome thing the Cavs did this season. They actually completely doubled their win total. They had 22 wins last year, 44 this season. They were plus, I did make this graphic, by the way, Joe. They are plus 22 wins from this season to last. And if you remember, preseason, 26.5 was the Cavs over under. So they far exceeded expectations, and, you know, have really, really done a lot of nice things. Let's go real quick to the other flow chart. For the Western Conference, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this
because we don't care about these.
Yeah,
teams
I mean
so
the
much.
Western Conference, that's nice, but you know, like you know, we're in the East Coast here. We spend or in the Midwest, East Coast, we spend a little bit more time.
Did you forget to put the Lakers on there?
The Lakers. I just must have omitted them. And they're missing a head coach too, I heard. They did not make this bracket. They did not make, I think they finished number 11 in the West, which is crazy. So, Phoenix is the top seed. I think Phoenix is, I would almost write them in pen to make it to the NBA finals. As long as they stay healthy, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Ayton, they got a bunch of Bridges. They got a bunch of nice players on that team. I think Phoenix makes it all the way to the NBA finals. Memphis and John Morant is just a really, really great story. They are the two seed. Golden State and Denver will play in the 3-6 game. Obviously you got a couple MVP and a couple of best players in the NBA there with, Curry and with, Jokic for Denver. And then the 4-5 game, Dallas and Utah, and you know, it's 4-5, but that should be really one of the best matchups in the first round, in my opinion. So that's what the playoffs look like. The East is too hard to predict right now for me. So, I'll take a look at that more later. I haven't spent a whole lot of time on what I think, but you know, I'm just rooting for a Cavs W, and we'll see what happens from there. But I do want to give just some kind of final, put a little bow on the regular season with some of the Cavs numbers. But Darius Garland, the point guard of the Cavs, all-star this season, finished the season at nearly 22 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists. Excuse me, about 1.5 steals a game, and then shooting 46% from the field, 38% from the 3-point line, and nearly 90% from the free throw line. And then point and assist double doubles, 30 of those this year, which is just incredible. And his month of March was about the best in the entire NBA. So that's Darius Garland. A couple of the Cavs big men that we're going to talk about, you know, these guys, they call them Tower City for a reason. Jared Allen is, I believe he's 6'11", not quite 7 foot tall, but that afro he's got makes him probably about 7'2". And then Evan Mobley, You're going to hear the Rookie of the Year stuff coming out soon, but Evan Mobley is arguably the Rookie of the Year this year. I think hands down he should be. You're probably going to hear Evan Mobley, Scottie Barnes, and Cade Cunningham. So Scottie Barnes came on real late for the Toronto Raptors. He is going to push Evan Mobley for that Rookie of the Year spot. And then Cade Cunningham, who was on a really bad Detroit team, but really did a lot of great things this year. So he was the number one pick in the draft. Evan Mobley was the number three. Scottie Barnes was the number four. And then Jalen Green had a really nice year for Houston, just not quite in that up to that level. So I would say all four teams nailed their drafts, one through four. Four best rookies that entered the league. And I think the Cavs really hit a home run with Evan Mobley. Now, excuse me, let's go to, I put the starting lineup plus one for my expectations for tonight's game with Cleveland and Brooklyn. So looking at the line, it looked to me at last check, Brooklyn was about an 8-point favorite in this game. Now, if you look at Brooklyn, they have a ton of stars. Kyrie Irving, our old buddy, Steph Curry's brother, Seth. He is playing on a sprained ankle, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Bruce Brown, we all know Kevin Durant, you know, still a top five player in the NBA, top six maybe this year, was injured for a long, long time. Andre Drummond, another former Cavalier, and then Patty Mills, pretty good player, pretty good scorer coming off the bench, with some other players the Nets have that can do some damage. But those are the six main guys I think to worry about for the Nets. And obviously, I think the goal for Cleveland should be to keep Kyrie and Kevin Durant under 60 points total between the two of them. The Cavs are going to be able to put up a lot of numbers. So scoring will be prime for the Cavs. Now, unfortunately for the Cavs on that shot, Jared Allen will not be on that list because he has a broken middle finger that is still not quite fully healed. The Cavs don't want to put him in at further risk. I don't know. To me, it's a middle finger. You tape it up. I don't know how bad it is. But hopefully, Jared Allen will be back if they need to play on Friday or if they do win and make the actual playoffs. So you're going to have Darius Garland, Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro, Lauri Markkanen, who's had a really nice season, Evan Mobley, and our buddy Kevin Love, who scored 32 points on Sunday in 15 minutes of play, just draining threes. I think he was 8 of 10 at one point in the three-point line. So good luck to the Cavs tonight against the Nets. Not going to make a prediction. I just am hoping they're within 5 points with 5 minutes to go. So I think if they can do that, pressure shifts to the Nets, and we'll see what happens from there. All right. So again, that game is at 7 o'clock tonight on TNT. And again, if there's any changes, just check for that. As of now, there has not been any. So let's switch one more time to the Cleveland Guardians. Don't have to put any money in the swear jar, but the Guardians started 0-2 in their first two games, Thursday, and then didn't play on Friday, but Thursday and Saturday, they scored one run total in 19 innings. They had one game that went to extra innings. In their last two games, which were two wins, they put up 27 runs. So the pitching has been pretty excellent so far this year. The bats were not so great in games 1 and 2, but the bats really, really have come on these last two games. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Reds, actually, right about now in Cincinnati's home opener. So, if you're watching this live, hopefully after our show, you just go right over there and watch that. And Shane Bieber will be on the hill for, I think I can still say the Tribe. Is that appropriate? Yeah, why not? It's like a nickname, right? So I don't know what else to call them. The Guards, Cleveland. I really don't hate the Guardians name. I really don't. I don't love the little G with the flying baseball in it, but you know, it'll grow on me, but is what it is. So, and for the record too, I'll be able to tell you on Thursday, but Tom Hanks will actually throw out the first pitch on Friday in Cleveland. They will open up against the San Francisco Giants at home. Want to talk to you about Stephen Kwan. I literally didn't know who this guy was about a week and a half ago. Started hearing his name as, you know, this up and coming rookie. He's out of Oregon State. And, you know, heard some things, but he wasn't a high level prospect, but he moved up the charts. He hit over 320 last year in the minor leagues, but he has been absolutely on fire in the first four games for the Guardians. He is the sixth player ever in the history of baseball to have five hits in a game in his first three games. He is the first player in Cleveland franchise history and the fifth player all time to reach base 15 times in his first four games. That is remarkable. And so far at the plate, he is 9 of 13 with three RBIs, which all came in one at bat because he had a base clearing triple against Kansas City to open up the game yesterday. And this is the coolest fact. He has swung 26 times. So, you know, been up to the plate, he's seen, you know, 60, 70 pitches. He swung at 26 of those. He's yet to miss, yet to swing and miss, which is remarkable. Baseball has, you know, transcended to all or nothing as a home run or a strikeout. And this kid just does not swing and miss, which is pretty remarkable. So, he has seen the ball swung 26 times, yet to miss one. One of three players in the entire major leagues with 20 or more swings to have that honor, I guess. So Joe, I put this up, this next one up for you. Oh, you're the best. Stop looking at me, Kwan. little ode to Adam Sandler, but I've seen it out there on Twitter. A lot of people were asking, what's a good nickname or Stephen Kwan, and everyone wants to start the Stephen Kwan fan club because this guy is just unbelievable so far, and hopefully he can keep this going and keep this trend going for the Tribe or the Cleveland baseball team or the Guardians, whatever you prefer. You know, we'll go from there.
And I think Kwan was in Jerry Maguire too, where he Cuba Gooding Jr. called money Kwan.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Show me the Kwan.
I wonder if that was spelled Q-U-A-N.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. I'm not going to mess around.
I'm going to test your knowledge. Uh-huh. I'm going to test your knowledge. On the mound, probably right about now for Cleveland, is Shane Bieber. He obviously was the Cy Young Award winner in 2020. And, oh, you found it? The word
K-W-A-N.
Kwan.
K-W-A-N. It was both. Q-U-A-N and K-W-A-N.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take it as a push. Either way. Can you play that?
Let's see it.
We'll hear it. We'll listen for it. He wants Jerry Maguire to get him the Kwan.
Get him the Kwan.
Okay. You know
that's
what?
Fitting, right?
I have to admit, I've actually never seen Jerry Maguire.
Whoa.
Yeah. Never seen it. So.
Put that on the list.
I do. I mean, it made our football bracket movie list, but it did. I felt like I had to abstain from voting in that one because I'd never seen it. So.
All right.
So back to Shane Bieber, who's going to start earning a lot more Kwan here soon. but he will. He's on the mound today, 4 2/3, I believe, the other day. His velocity was down a little bit, but hopefully he will get it going once the weather warms up a little bit, too. Let's switch to a couple Youngstown things to end the show, Joe. It is the 330 Sports Show and more. So and we more. Always talk about a lot of different things. Speaking, you know, I just said I've never seen Jerry Maguire. Joe, I have never been to the Golden Dawn. I've never been there. It's right up the street, right by Ursuline High School. and people rave about the Golden Dawn. They're like schooner glasses, and I don't know if they have like a food specialty, but I've taken a lot of heat from people that said, I've never been. So have you ever been to the Golden Dawn?
Do they have one in Warren?
I think this is the one and only.
Yes, I've never been there either.
So I'm going to try to get in contact with the owners of Golden Dawn and see if we can get them in studio, or maybe we can do a show down there and like test it out, because I mean, you might as well have a beer while you're doing a podcast and a show. So if anyone knows the owners of the Golden Dawn and they'd like to come on the show or have us down, we would love to help them get the word out more about their business. Now, I think the Golden Dawn is such a local tradition and hotspot for so many people, but for me, never been. I would love to check it out, and I hopefully will soon. But you know, if you've been to the Golden Dawn, if you know about it, tell us some of your favorite things, because you know, it's just something I don't know a whole lot about. But I do remember talking to Richie and Aspasia, and they said one of their little homages to was to the Golden Dawn, the schooner. So that's on their logo. So obviously it's been around for almost 100 years, but we will see. It was closed down and it just recently opened back up. Nice. So let's we'll try to get that set up in the near future. Sure. All right. And then finally, another Youngstown. It is Ed O'Neill's birthday. So happy birthday, Ed O'Neill. Grew up again right here in Youngstown, went to Ursuline. Played a little bit of NFL football with the Steelers, a little bit here at YSU. So Joe, do you have a favorite Ed O'Neill thing he's ever done?
Not really. I didn't even watch that show much later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't really follow it.
Does
that say the more you yo?
It does.
Did you do the yo?
No, you know what? No. And I'm glad you said that, because I gave credit on the Facebook page to Youngstown, clothing company, but that is their design. So Matt, don't be mad at me. I did borrow your little logo there. For
it's pretty fancy that the images that you're adding to this program.
I am trying to. Do you remember the more you know from like growing up as a kid, and like it would be on like after like Saved by the Bell or something like that? And yeah, the more you know. So Ed O'Neill, I have to say, I mean, Al Bundy, you know, I was probably, I don't know. I like that show, I think, more like after it was off air. Modern Family was great. You know, that's a show I feel like I just randomly see, you know, here and there. But he's done a lot of really, really good things. So happy birthday to Youngstown's own Ed O'Neill. We appreciate you guys watching, listening. Make sure to go to our Facebook page, my at 330 Sports Show, because we have that Ken Griffey Jr. autographed baseball. You can enter to win up until Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We will pull the winner on Thursday's show. And that's about it. So
if you make a Happy Gilmore reference, you get 2 votes.
Okay. Deal. I will, when we're going to put the names in a hat, we will pull the names. So with that said, for Joe, I'm Justin. We will see you guys on Thursday. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.